解决纠纷难道只能打官司？不用那么麻烦，上您传授三字诀 ADR 诉讼外纷争解决机制，像是邻居纷争、消费争议、劳资问题或甚至医疗纠纷，都可以利用 ADR 来解决，程序简单有效率，并且不用花大钱，方便、快速又和谐。遇到纠纷选择 ADR， 不必打官司，让你省时又省钱。
以上广告由司法院提供。
An outbreak of food poisoning in Taipei has left 2 people dead and at least 4 critically ill. The victims had all dined at a Malaysian chain restaurant in Taipei's Xinyi District. An investigation is underway to identify the cause of the outbreak.
The food poisoning caused acidosis. The patient died despite efforts to save him.
A second death has been reported in connection to a Pulam Kafetiam restaurant in Taipei. The victim was a 66-year-old man surnamed Yang who ate at the restaurant on March 19th. He developed diarrhea that night and went to Shin Kong Wu Ho Su Memorial Hospital for treatment on March 21st.
他是在3月19号的中午，然后就是点了一份炒粿条。
He ate at the restaurant at midday on March 19th. He had ordered 炒粿条. Later that day, he experienced diarrhea, having about 30 bowel movements. By the early hours of March 21st, he was sweating profusely. His bed and pillow were all wet. But when he was transferred to a regular ward, he was still in good spirits.
When Yang was admitted to the hospital, it was unclear whether he had food poisoning. His case was linked to the restaurant outbreak only after March 26, when New Taipei's Department of Health alerted the hospital.
We only realized there was a connection after the news broke out. It turns out it was food poisoning. We didn't know what he could have eaten. We were all making guesses as to what could have caused such severe liver and kidney failure.The patients had eaten 炸粿条 or rice noodles and developed symptoms within 12 hours. In a very short time, their conditions deteriorated into liver failure and septic shock.
Taipei's Department of Health and the Food and Drug Administration have taken boxes of ingredients from the restaurant for testing. For now, the prime suspect is rice noodles, which were eaten by all patients in the cluster. Some doctors say the noodles may have been contaminated with bunkrecic acid, which is lethal even in small quantities.
米硝菌酸所影响的这个其实现在都在调查了。
Whether bunkrecic acid is to blame remains to be investigated. For now, it's all just speculation because we're going to need at least 2 weeks to cultivate microbial cultures.
Testing is underway on samples from the restaurant and the patients, which include stool samples. Pulang Kapitiam's branch in Xinyi was scheduled to close permanently on March 31st. The 2 dead victims and 4 critically ill patients had eaten stir-fried rice noodles at the branch between March 19th and 22nd. Theories behind the outbreak range from accidental poisoning to malicious sabotage. An investigation has been launched to find the source of contamination and to determine whether the ingredients were in proper condition.
The military has beefed up its drone arsenal in recent years through both overseas procurement and domestic production. And with the increase in drone comes the need for more drone pilots. To meet the talent gap, the Defense Ministry says it will establish a dedicated pilot training center. Working with the private sector, it also plans to train instructors who can teach other drone pilots.
This is a military shooting range in Taidong's Taimali Township. Soldiers in camouflage operate what appears to be an Albatross 2 drone, which was unveiled last year. This site could be the future home of a drone training center. The military has a range of Taiwan-made drone models, including the Tengyun, the Cardinal, and the Albatross. In addition, the Zhongshan Institute of Science and Technology and the private sector are developing commercial drones that can be adapted for military use. Taiwan is also set to receive 4 MQ-9 Reapers from the US. Amid growing demand for drone pilots, the military plans to establish a drone training center that offers a wide array of courses, including training in combat scenarios.
Our talent pool will not be restricted to our current personnel. There are a lot of retired military officers or older officers that could be considered. There are no age restrictions when it comes to remotely controlling drones, so such talent can serve beyond typical age limits. We'd be recruiting pilots through diverse channels. There are also a lot of younger younger people who are interested in this and who have professional experience. We can recruit them to form different squads.
Training a large number of drone pilots will require teaching instructors. The military will work with the private sector to train pilots who can later become instructors for small and medium-sized drones. The initial goal is to train 320 such instructors a year.
You want to train 320 instructors a year. That is a very low number. If you want there to be enough to train pilots, we need 1,000 instructors a year. You should evaluate these numbers. Our goal is to have 1,000 instructors. We will work toward that goal. Could you perhaps offer different training levels? People who are interested could start from basic courses, and people who already have the expertise can train at a different level. We are not saying that every trainee will have to go through the basics. That would waste a lot of time. We'll work on this.
From creating a training center to cultivating instructors, the military is ramping up its investment in drones to create an edge in asymmetric warfare.
Vice President-elect Xiaobi Kim is back after her trip to Europe. She announced her return home on Tuesday, posting to the social media platform Threads. She wrote that her cats had parked themselves between her and the documents she was reading, as if in protest. Although the post did not include a photo, it still received more than 13,000 likes. Xiao flew out to Washington in the middle of March for a low-key personal trip. After that, she headed to Europe at the invitation of a think tank. She met a number of key political figures, including Reinhard Bütikofer, the chair of the European Parliament's Delegation for Relations with China. Xiao was also invited to visit the European Parliament, where she was welcomed by more than 30 MEPs, including First Vice President Otmar Karas. Lawmakers from Kaohsiung want more international flight options for their city. At a Wednesday press conference, two lawmakers asked the government to start by increasing aviation routes from Kaohsiung to Japan. They said that Kaohsiung offers far fewer flights to Japan compared to Taoyuan International Airport. In response, the Civil Aviation Administration says it's already in talks with Japanese authorities on expanding air links with the southern port city. Introducing delicacies from Kaohsiung's Gangshan district, the lawmaker says they'd be a hit with potential Japanese tourists. At a press conference on Wednesday, DPP lawmakers Cho Zhiwei and Xu Zhijie highlighted the South's growing demand for flights to Japan. They urged the government and airlines to add air routes linking Kaohsiung with Japan.
With more flights connecting the two places, there can be an exchange of local specialties. Japanese ramen is very famous. Match the ramen with a broad bean sauce and you'd get a completely unique flavor. The Japanese would definitely find Gangshan's broad bean sauce very tasty. People want in-depth travel experiences, so there's interest in every prefecture and city in Japan. The Taiwanese want to visit every corner of Japan. For example, Okayama, which is a lesser-known city with lots of character and many scenic areas in its vicinity. It would certainly have a strong appeal to Taiwanese travelers.
According to government data, Taoyuan International Airport offers direct flights to 24 Japanese destinations every week. In contrast, Kaohsiung International Airport offers only 6, a fourfold difference. Every week, 551 flights take off from Taoyuan International Airport, and just 79 flights depart from Kaohsiung International Airport, a difference of 7 times. Lawmakers are calling for an increase in destinations and flights for Kaohsiung. The Civil Aviation Administration says it's discussing the possibility with Japanese authorities.
If the Okayama route is established, aviation will be able to return to pre-pandemic levels. But there are still issues regarding the entry and exit of passengers in Japan that need to be overcome. We hope to launch this route as soon as possible in the middle or in the second half of the year. Last night, the relevant people in Okayama said they would let us know as early as May or June whether the route is feasible, if the recruitment of customs staff goes smoothly. If we get good news in May or June, we'll be able to announce it in July.
With air travel yet to bounce back from the pandemic, the government and airlines are working together to achieve a full recovery.
Taiwan will become a super-aged society in 2025, meaning that one in every five people will be over the age of 65. To cater to the growing number of older adults, the new Taipei City government has pushed to establish long-term care centers. The city reached a milestone of 90 centers in the first quarter of this year. FTV reporter F. Stephanie Yang has the details.
Older adults and children take to the stage with a dance performance to celebrate the establishment of 90 long-term care centers in New Taipei. The population of New Taipei is rapidly aging. One decade ago, 370,000 residents were over 65 years old. That figure was above 730,000 as of the beginning of this year.
90 long-term care centers have been established as of the first quarter of this year. By the end of this year, there will be 100 long-term care centers. Our long-term care centers are becoming more and more humane and high-tech so as to better care for our seniors.
When Mayor Hou Youyi entered office in 2018, he pledged to build a robust long-term care network for the city. By 2021, the local government had established 60 long-term care centers. There were 70 centers by 2022 and 81 centers by 2023. As of the first quarter of this year, there are 90 centers across the city, each with its own unique features.
The classes here are very good. You can participate in hands-on exercises and brain exercises. It is very good, and the environment here is wonderful. This newly established Tucheng Long-Term Care Center uses ICT-REHA to care for older adults through sports, strengthening muscles, and nutrition. We will complete 100 long-term care centers by the end of the year.
The mayor says 100 long-term care centers will be completed by the end of the year to care for the city's growing population of older adults. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hu Chong-en in New Taipei City.
KMT lawmakers have proposed a freeze on electricity prices. The proposal calls on the cabinet to halt a price hike of 3% to 25%, which is set to take effect on April 1st. In a separate motion, the KMT demanded that all future price increases receive legislative approval.
We oppose Taipower's rate hike. We ask the legislative yuan to pass a rate freeze proposal that takes effect immediately. Any adjustment to electricity prices should undergo public scrutiny or have the people's consent. Some issues fall within the jurisdiction of the legislative yuan, but some adjustments are handled by the central government's work processes. With regard to electricity prices, we make the judgment based on professional expertise. The current price of electricity does not reflect its actual cost, so I believe that industry players should work a little harder to accept the pricing adjustment, whether they do it in the spirit of being a team player or accepting a global reality.
Pegatron chair Tong Zixian has called on companies to take the price hike in stride, as it would support the country's long-term sustainability. According to the Energy Administration, industrial users are the single largest consumer of electricity, accounting for 56% of the total. Household use accounts for 18%, and the service sector accounts for 17%. We're already seeing ripple effects from the central bank's policy rate hike last week. Four state-invested banks raised their deposit interest rates from Monday. On Wednesday, Zhonghua Post's banking system followed suit, raising the interest rate it pays for savings deposits. Following its adjustment, a one-year term CD of 1 million NT will yield an extra 1,250 NT in interest each year. So for savers, the central bank's rate hike means a modest boost. But home buyers aren't smiling because their mortgages have just gotten more expensive.
Here at the post office, customers wait their turn for service. Zhonghua Post banking system is favored by older adults who see it as a trusted place to save money. Following the central bank's interest rate hike, the post office has raised rates on its savings accounts.
如果是100万元存款。
For an account with 1 million NT in savings, the increase in annual interest will be around 1,250 NT. But for people who have mortgages, there will be an additional burden.
Chunghwa Post raised its deposit interest rates by a range between 0.115 and 0.13 percentage points. With the adjustment, its one-year term deposit rate is now 1.725%. State-invested banks, including Bank of Taiwan, First Bank, Taiwan Cooperative Bank, and Land Bank of Taiwan, have also adjusted rates, raising demand deposit and term deposit rates by a range of 0.12 to 0.135 percentage points. One-year term deposit rates now range from 1.725% to 1.755%. But while savers may rejoice, home buyers are facing steeper payments. A 30-year mortgage of 10 million NT now costs an extra 631 NT a month, or 7,572 NT a year.
房贷的压力蛮大。
对对对对，哎，因为。
We do also have a mortgage. When the central bank raises its rates, our interest rates go up too.
现在通膨，你看。
There's inflation and rising electricity prices. Monthly expenses are going up. Say that you have 1 million NT in a bank account. That gets you just 1,000 NT or so in interest. You can spend that in a flash. It's better to put that money in ETFs, which have higher returns than any bank or the post office.
For savers, the central bank's surprise rate hike means slightly more bang for their buck. But for mortgage holders, it's only one more source of financial stress.
A Japanese supplement scare has cast a shadow over Taiwan, sparking fears about the safety of red yeast rice. So far in Japan, 2 deaths and more than 100 hospitalizations have been linked to dietary supplements containing red yeast rice, a fermented product made by steaming rice with food fungus. But red yeast rice is generally safe when prepared properly, an expert says.
一般比较传统的红曲是用开放式的，所谓开放式就是说它是没有盖子。
Traditional methods of preparing red yeast rice use open fermentation. That is, the rice is fermented in vessels without a lid in an open environment, so the product is more prone to contamination. In Taiwan today, red yeast rice is produced in a completely sealed environment, and it's tested after each stage of production, so there is no opportunity for contamination. If the product is made in Taiwan, then it's subject to exact standards and is certified by the FDA as safe.
According to expert Pan Ziming, a red yeast rice product can be considered safe if it meets two requirements. First, the ingredients are not sourced from a problematic supplier. Second, the production process from fermentation to batch testing meets exacting standards. Pan said consumers should check a product for certification from the health ministry or an international regulatory body. A new exhibit explores one period in the history of Taiwanese architecture. It's a fascinating look at the events and cultural factors that shaped the buildings that were constructed between 1949 and 1983. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang spoke to the curator to find out more.
Through architectural models and audiovisual material, a Taipei exhibition documents the events that shaped Taiwan architecture from 1949 to 1983.
This period was a time of great contradictions in Taiwan. There was an authoritarian system, but also fast economic development. It was these many different forces that gradually produced our modern life. The architectural models on display are very large, so you can see many of the details. The details are essential. There are also many videos in the exhibition.
The exhibition is split into six themes: influence of US aid, return to Chinese retro, emergence of Chinese modern, defining regional modernity, outliers, and a new life.
We're able to articulate the social relevance and temporal spirit of these structures. This is what makes this exhibition very different from others. It is a social history of architecture. That's what we hope to achieve.
The exhibition will be on show till June 30th at the Taipei Fine Arts Museum in Taipei. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hong Guokai in Taipei.
After a successful career as a coffee roaster, Zeng Mengshen from Zhanghua found a new passion. One taste of crispy pork crackling from a Guangdong master chef, and Zeng was hooked and decided to change careers at 60 to learn how to make it. Zeng roasted no fewer than 100 pigs over 6 months before eventually realizing its demands weren't so different from coffee roasting. Now Zeng has made it in another career as a successful chef.
Each slice of crispy pork makes a mouth-watering crackle, beaten only by its succulent flavor. The secret to this enticing crackling lies in mastery of the oven. At 280 degrees, the pork juices begin to seep out. Zeng Mengshen inspects from outside with a flashlight, not daring to step away for 1 second of the 50-minute cook time. But even before now, he was already a master at roasting.
You have to marinate the pork belly for a day, then cool it for a day before you can finally roast it on the third.
Zeng started out as a coffee roaster before one day getting the opportunity to try pork crackling from a master chef in Guangdong. He decided then and there to learn from the chef, spending a half year studying. But it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Sometimes it didn't cook inside, and sometimes the skin wasn't crispy at all. Both kinds were inedible. They had to be thrown away. I went through so many, probably about 100 pigs.
From coffee to pork, Zeng has succeeded at whatever career he has set out for himself. He says that nothing is too difficult in this world, as long as you are willing to work hard.